You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on The Confidence Gap. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on The Confidence Gap, a guide to overcoming fear and self-doubt by Russ Harris. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. Whether you call it lack of confidence, fear of failure, performance anxiety, or self-doubt, the chances are it's cost you dearly in life. Take a moment to consider, what have you given up? What have you missed out on? What opportunities have you lost because of it? Over the years, I've worked with literally thousands of people who have put their hopes, dreams, and ambitions on hold because they don't have enough confidence. And the sad thing is, this lack of confidence is not due to any fault of their own. It is certainly not because of stupidity, or laziness, or negative thinking, or a deprived childhood, or a chemical imbalance in the brain. It is simply because they do not know the rules of the confidence game. On your journey, you'll discover a revolutionary new approach to maximizing human potential, a model of change that is firmly based on cutting-edge research in human psychology. And you'll learn to develop a mindset known as psychological flexibility, a powerful mental state that enables you to respond effectively to fear, anxiety, and self-doubt. You'll also learn to develop genuine, lasting self-confidence. And you'll learn to enhance your performance in any area of your life, from sports, business, and creative arts, to socializing, parenting, and sex. End quote. That is Russ Harris from The Confidence Gap. Russ Harris is one of the world's leading authorities on one of the most cutting-edge forms of therapy, known as Acceptance and Commitment Training, or ACT for short. It's A-C-T, although it's pronounced like the word ACT, not A-C-T. ACT is essentially a powerful blend of mindfulness training and cognitive behavioral therapy. I'll be covering Russ's first book, The Happiness Trap, soon, where he provides a general introduction to it. This book is, as you probably guessed by now, all about helping us optimize our confidence. Russ tells us that we've been following the wrong rule book if we want to dial in our confidence. He presents 10 rules on how to win the game of confidence we'll explore in the note. The book is truly packed with big ideas, and I'm excited to share a few of my favorites, so let's jump straight in. And if you like this note, I think you'll also like the class on Confidence 101. We've got a link to it in the note. So first big idea, what is the confidence gap? Quote, many people are completely lost in something I call the confidence gap. It's that place we get stuck when fear gets in the way of our dreams and ambitions. You know you're stuck in the confidence gap if you believe something like this. I can't achieve my goals, perform at my peak, do the things I want to do, or behave like the person I want to be until I feel more confident. Russ continues by saying, does this ring true for you? Many self-help approaches inadvertently encourage you to think this way, but you will soon discover that the more tightly you hold on to this belief, the more it will hold you back from creating the life you want. End quote. The confidence gap. It's the story we often tell ourselves that we'll go for our biggest dreams when we feel confident. That's not only a gap, it's a trap. The theme of the book is captured in the first rule of the game of confidence. The actions of confidence come first. The feelings of confidence come later. We take action, then we feel confident, not the other way around. If we only do things when we feel confident, we're not going to do a whole lot with our lives. Why? Because the only way to grow is to leave our comfort zone. And the moment you leave your comfort zone, you feel, by definition, discomfort. And of course, the bigger the dream, the more discomfort. That discomfort doesn't feel good. If we let those feelings dictate whether or not we act, we're in trouble. Hence, our golden rule. The actions of confidence come first. The feelings of confidence come later. Next big idea, the 10 rules for winning the game of confidence. Quote, below I've listed the 10 right rules of the confidence game. However, before you read through them, I think a warning is in order. Rules become dangerous when we follow them rigidly. So please, hold all these rules very lightly. Be flexible with them. Bend them, modify them, or drop them as required. They are not the Ten Commandments. End quote. Russ tells us that we've been conditioned to believe the wrong rules regarding confidence. And he outlines 10 correct rules that he sprinkles throughout the book. We'll take a quick look at all 10 and then drill into a few in more detail. Here we go. The 10 rules for winning the game of confidence. Number one, quote, "The actions of confidence come first. The feelings of confidence come later," end quote. This is rule number one. It's the golden rule of confidence. We act, then we feel confident. Most people get this completely backwards, as we just discussed, thinking they need to feel confidence in order to act. Remember, the actions of confidence come first, the feelings of confidence come later. Rule number two, quote, "Genuine confidence is not the absence of fear, it is a transformed relationship with fear," end quote. As David Reynolds tells us in Constructive Living, anyone who says they are never afraid is both stupid and lying. We all experience fear at times. The issue isn't getting rid of it, it's transforming our relationship to it and using it as fuel, as per rule number eight. Rule number three, quote, "Negative thoughts are normal. Don't fight them. Diffuse them," end quote. Diffusion is such a great idea. We're going to talk about that more in detail in a moment. Know that our brains evolved over millions of years to survive. This required a bias to see the negative. Therefore, we cannot get rid of negative thoughts, period. We can unhook or diffuse ourselves from them, but we can't get rid of them. Rule number four, self-acceptance trumps self-esteem. Russ tells us that self-esteem is a highly overrated quality. Much better to accept ourselves and then self-motivate ourselves to live in integrity with our values. Little side note here, Russ talks about how affirmations can actually be damaging for people with low self-esteem. Much better to practice self-affirmation theory by affirming our values. I've got a link to the micro class on self-affirmation theory in the note. Now, rule number five, true success is living by your values. You want success right this second? Awesome. Live by your values. More on this in a moment as well. Rule number six, hold your values lightly, but pursue them vigorously. We're never going to live our values perfectly, period. There are no perfect people. We will not be the first. Thanks, Maslow. Rule number seven, don't obsess about the outcomes. Get passionate about the process. Another theme we talk about all the time. Quit obsessing about whether or not you're going to get the outcome you want. That's a great way to diminish your confidence. Get fired up about what you're going to do in pursuit of your big dreams. That's a great way to build your confidence. Rule number eight, don't fight your fear. Allow it, befriend it, and channel it. Russ has what he calls the ABCs of fear whispering. He likens it to taming a wild stallion. First, allow your fear in. Then, be nice to it. Then, channel it. Just as a wild stallion has amazing energy we can harness, fear can be fuel for our peak performance if we learn how to harness it. Rule number nine, failure hurts, but if we're willing to learn, it's a wonderful teacher. No one likes to fail, and if we're willing to look for the lessons in our failures, we can learn a ton. And finally, rule number 10, the key to peak performance is total engagement in the task. Want to perform at your peak? Then engage with life. Put all of your energy into what you're doing. As we discuss in Peak Performance 101, you can't do that if your mind is fused with worrying thoughts. Defuse, then go all in. Those are the 10 rules to help us win the game of confidence. What's your favorite one? And P.S., what's the golden rule? The number one rule of the game of confidence. Make it stick by thinking about it without looking back. And PPS, a huge part of ACT is flexibility. As I described in this micro class I link in the note, we want to think structure, but not rigidity. We want spontaneity, not chaos. That's flexibility. It's a very good thing. The hallmark of a healthy human. Next big idea, two very important words, diffusion plus workability. Quote, "At this point, I'd like to introduce one of the most important words in this book, workability. Please etch this word deep into your brain, as it underpins everything we do from this point on. The term workability arises from this simple question. Is what you are doing working to help you create a richer, fuller, more meaningful life? If the answer is yes, then what you are doing is workable. If the answer is no, then what you are doing is unworkable. the concept of workability can help us unhook from our thoughts. If your aim is to empower yourself so you can take effective action and be who you really want to be, but your mind is generating all sorts of reasons why that just can't happen, then you can ask yourself this question. If I allow this thought to guide my actions, will it help me create the life I want? If the answer is no, then you could recognize that the thought is unhelpful and that acting on it would be unworkable. It only takes a few seconds to do this, to pause, check in, notice what your mind is saying, and ask yourself the foregoing question. Recognizing a thought or belief is unhelpful often helps to reduce its influence over us. It makes us less likely to act on it. However, note that with this approach, we're not getting into debates about whether the thought is true or false. The question we're asking is simply, if I let this thought dictate my actions, will it help me lead the life I want? End quote. Workability. It's a key word we want to understand. But before we get to workability, we want to understand an even more important word, diffusion. Diffusion is huge. Before we can even ask the question of whether or not a given thought is helpful for us, we need to notice we're thinking a negative thought in the first place. This is where mindfulness comes in. We need to see our thoughts. We can't do that if we're fused with our thoughts. If there's no separation between our thought and ourself, then it's impossible to be effective. For example, if you can't see that you have a running dialogue telling yourself wonderful things like, I can't do that, or I'm not smart enough, or I don't have what it takes, or insert your charming story here, then good luck rocking it. We must defuse from those thoughts, see them, and let them go. Russ has some great ways to help us do that. Let's practice some now. A little parenthetical aside. By the way, he tells us that nothing great was ever achieved without practice, even more than I do. If we want to get good at anything, we must practice it a lot. So, first, think of a not-so-empowering phrase that may dance through your mind often. What is it? Is it, I can't do it, I'm not smart enough, I don't have what it takes? What's your negative thought? You got it? Now, say to yourself, I am having the thought that, dot, 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 whatever it is you think. I am having the thought that. That is diffusion. Or you could say, I notice I am having the thought that, insert your phrase. That's another way to diffuse. Or say your thought in the most ridiculous voice you can imagine. You notice it, then say it in the most ridiculous voice you can possibly imagine. That's another way to diffuse. Or you can sing your thought to the tune of your favorite song. Another way to diffuse. My personal favorite, when the thought arises, say to yourself, hey, thanks, mind. That was awesome. Really appreciate your contributions. Hashtag high fives. That is a way to diffuse. We want to unhook or defuse ourselves from those disempowering thoughts. Once we do that, we can ask ourselves, if I allow this thought to guide my actions, will it help me create the life I want and be the type of person I want to be? If not, then we can recognize the thought is unhelpful and choosing to act on it would be unworkable. Note in all this, we did not try to get rid of our negative thoughts. As Russ says countless times in the book, that's impossible. Millions of years of evolution have wired us to think negatively. Even the greatest Zen masters have negative thoughts. They just aren't hooked by them. Which leads us to our next big idea. Presto, instant success. Quote, if we live our lives by this definition of success, we are doomed to stress and misery, punctuated by brief moments of joy when we achieve a goal. So I invite you to consider a radically different definition. True success is living by your values. This definition makes our lives ever so much easier. Why? Because in any moment, we can act on our values. Yes, even if we've neglected them for years. Presto, instant success. When living by our values becomes the definition of success, it means we can be successful right now. All we need to do is act on our values. From this perspective, the mother who gives up her career to act on her values around nurturing and supporting her children is far more successful than the CEO who earns millions but completely neglects his values around being there for his kids. Albert Einstein put it this way, "Try not to become a man of success, but rather try to become a man of value." And Helen Keller put it like this, "I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish small tasks as if they were great and noble. So next time your mind is beating you up for not being successful enough, try saying, "Thanks, mind," and then ask yourself, "What tiny thing can I do right now that's consistent with my values?" Then do it. Instant success. End quote. So a key aspect of ACT is to get clarity on our values and then let them drive the show. Then we can redefine success from the standard make a ton of money, get famous, and all that jazz to living in accordance with our values. Result? Presto, instant success. Of course, that begs the question, what are your values? Russ helps us identify our values by listing 59 of them as inspiration, encouraging us to identify with at least 10 of them, then narrow down that list to the 6 most important values. Here's a sample: acceptance, assertiveness, authenticity, caring, compassion, connection, contribution, courage, creativity, enthusiasm, fitness, fun, generosity, gratitude, humility, humor, justice, kindness, love, mindfulness, patience, persistence, responsibility, safety, self-care, self-development, sensuality, spirituality, trust, and insert your own list here. Think about it for a moment. What 6 values do you think best capture what you stand for these days? Please do, if you can safely, think about it. Pause, come back when you've thought about it and you've captured your 6 values that you think best capture what you stand for these days. I've got space to write it down in the note. Think about it. Write those down. Put them on a piece of paper or index card you can put in your wallet and or on your desk or and or everywhere so you can see them often. And remind yourself that success is just a moment away. Remember rule number 6. True success is living by your values. P.S. This definition of success is precisely what we talked about in our notes on Wooden, Primary Greatness, Legacy, and so many more. Let's live our values. Presto, instant success. Next big idea, fear to dare. Quote, what holds us back? What stops us from acting on our values? The answer is fear. No, not fear, all lowercase, but fear, all caps. An acronym that stands for F, fusion, E, excessive goals, A, avoidance of discomfort, and R, remoteness from values. End quote. So what's holding us back? Fear. F-E-A-R. We are fused to our negative thoughts. We have excessive goals. We avoid discomfort. And we are remote from our values. F-E-A-R. Not a winning combo. The antidote to fear? We must dare. D-A-R-E. D. Diffusion. We need to diffuse from our thoughts. Remember, hey mind, thanks for the awesome thoughts. Super helpful. A, acceptance of discomfort versus avoidance of discomfort. This is super important. We need to get really comfortable with being uncomfortable. It's the only way to grow, literally. And then R for realistic goals versus excessive goals. You want to freak yourself out? Set crazy, unrealistic goals. We want to dream, but then we want to focus on the process and the next doable goal. What's yours? And finally, the E in dare is embracing values versus remoteness from values. Values are our fuel, our pathway to instant success, and our fuel for sustained persistence and grit. What are your values? Embrace them. Turn your fear into dare. All of that leads us to our final big idea. 2 choices on how to live your life. Which do you choose? Quote, suppose I could give you a choice about how to live your life. There are 2 options. Option 1, for the rest of your life, you only take action to do the things that are really important to you if you are in the mood, psyched up, and feeling good. In other words, you spend the rest of your days on this planet at the mercy of your emotions. If you're in the mood or you feel good, then you do the things that make your life work. But if your mood drops or you don't feel good, then you give up doing the things that truly matter and put your life on hold until such time as you feel good, positive, inspired again. Option 2, for the rest of your life, you take action to do the things that are really important to you, whether you are in the mood or not. Whether you feel good or bad, energetic or fearful, inspired or uninspired, you continue to take action. You keep doing what truly matters to you. Instead of going through life at the mercy of your emotions, you can behave like the person you want to be and do the things you want to do, even if you're tired or anxious or you don't feel like it. Which do you choose? End quote. That is from the last section in which Russ tells us that the comfort zone should be called the stuck zone or the stagnant zone or the zombie zone or the half-lived life zone. Fact is, if we want to live our lives as a daring adventure, we need to embrace discomfort. We need to get very comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's how we develop true confidence. The trust that we have what it takes to respond to whatever life throws at us, and the wisdom and ability to do what needs to get done, whether we feel like it or not. So, two choices. Which do you choose? That is a quick look at this great book, The Confidence Gap. If these ideas resonate, I think you'll really enjoy the book. I literally just scratched the surface of the ideas. I left a ton out. Only fits so much in a 6-page PDF here, but the book is fantastic. Russ Harris is the author of the international best-selling self-help book, The Happiness Trap. We'll cover that one soon. And is a world-renowned trainer of acceptance and commitment therapy, ACT. He is a doctor, actually, a general practitioner who changed his career to get into this therapy and serve as a coach. You can connect with him at actmindfully.com.au. If you enjoyed this note, I think you'll enjoy the notes on constructive living, everyday enlightenment, mind sight, self-compassion, your brain at work, the mindful athlete, rethinking positive thinking, mastery by George Leonard, and the tools, all of which, of course, are linked in the note. Now for some great quotes from the sidebar, and then we will wrap it up. So, Russ Harris tells us, if only you had more confidence, how would your life be different? Think about that. If you had more confidence, how would your life be different? Helen Keller tells us, security is mostly a superstition. It does not exist in nature, nor do the children of men as a whole experience it. Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. Margaret Fonte says, one important thing I have learned over the years is the difference between taking one's work seriously and taking oneself seriously. The first is imperative, and the second is disastrous. Winston Churchill tells us, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Back to Russ, who tells us, if a thought has hooked you and pulled you away from living the life you want, then notice it, name it, and neutralize it. Haridas Chaudhuri tells us, the greater the emphasis on perfection, the further it recedes. That is awesome. The greater the emphasis on perfection, the further it recedes. We'll be talking about that in Conquering Procrastination 101, which I happen to be preparing for now. Back to Russ, who tells us, because you're not investing any effort in fighting them, disputing them, or suppressing them, you can now put your energy into taking effective action. And because you're not entangled in your thoughts, you can engage fully in whatever you're doing. Confucius tells us, our greatest glory is not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall. Mark Twain tells us, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off your bow lines, sail away from the safe harbor. Catch the trade winds in your sails. Explore, dream, discover. Eleanor Roosevelt tells us, you gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. The danger lies in refusing to face the fear, in not daring to come to grips with it. And finally, Russ tells us, so a useful question to ask ourselves whenever a goal seems to exceed our resources is, what's the smallest, simplest, easiest little step I could take in the next 24 hours that would take me a tiny bit closer to achieving it? Well, there you go, the confidence gap. Do you remember rule number one? The golden rule of the confidence gap. It was, to refresh your memory, that actions come first. Acting with confidence, doing what needs to get done, comes first. The feelings of confidence come later. Let's not fall into the confidence gap and think that we need to feel confident in order to go out and pursue our dreams with confidence. Confidence is primarily an action. Let's take it and live the life of our dreams. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, simply slow down. Think about what tiny step you can take over the next 24 hours and go have fun with it. What was your favorite big idea? What jumped out and landed for you? How can you make it a bigger part of your life starting today? Get on that and enjoy the day. Have another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.